You're listening to a podcast service of Ecclesia Baptist Church in Fairview, North Carolina. You can visit us on the web at www.ecclesiabaptist.org.
I wonder this morning, have you ever felt completely, totally, utterly out of control? You don't have to give me any details. Let's just say yes or no. You know, one of those times where like, just completely maybe gripped by either fear or anxiety or worry, or like life is just spinning out of control and I'm just along for the ride. You know, kind of like this week we did a play at Veritas on The Wizard of Oz, kind of like Dorothy getting caught up into the tornado. It's like, what is going on? And I can't, nothing to ground me and to hold on to. I don't know if you know that feeling of kind of, at nighttime, you lay down and you just can't shut the brain off. Like, it's just mulling over things. And then you're just thinking about them and thinking about them. And you're like, I want to sleep, but the wheels just won't stop turning. And so you toss and you turn and you count sheep and you look at ceiling tiles and you start noticing that your alarm clock does weird shadows off the stuff on your bedside table on the ceiling. I'm speaking from experience here. This happens. And I'm like, oh, that's weird. I've never noticed that before. Really wish my brain would stop. Wouldn't stop working. I can remember that there have been times. Michelle knows I'm a pretty heavy sleeper, so when there's those times of kind of become a temporary insomniac, it's a serious thing for me because I need a lot of sleep. It's just me. But I remember tossing and turning and trying to read a book or praying or writing something and just trying to get my mind off of things. And it could be any number of things, right? I mean, sometimes we get into that space just because we've had a fight with someone we love. You know, we've had a disagreement and we're worried about them, or maybe it's due to illness, you know, either yourself or someone close to you, and that fear and anxiety. Maybe it's grief. Maybe it's just seething anger about something, or disappointment, or heartbreak, or worry, or any of a thousand other things. But that's what I want to talk about this morning, just for a few minutes. I think that's what our passage is about, especially if we focus on that second story in Mark's gospel. Now, remember, we've been talking about the ways that Jesus embodies the kingdom, right? We talked about the teaching on the kingdom, and this is Jesus living out, embodying the kingdom for the disciples and in the Gospels. And he's not just preaching, he's demonstrating. He's bringing the gospel, the kingdom, the future kingdom, into the present, healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons. And last week, I gave us a little bit of background before we talked about casting out demons. A little bit of background that I said would be important to remember. We talked about this idea of evil being connected to or symbolized by the sea, and the sea becoming this symbol of evil, emblematic of chaos. You think about when you're out on the sea, especially at nighttime, and you look out and it's just kind of this moving thing and you can't see beneath it, and it's this mysterious You know, I don't know if you've ever been on a boat overnight. It's only happened to me a couple times, but it's an eerie feeling, you know, when you cut and you're like, there's stuff down there, you know, and I can't see it, and it's creeping me out a little bit. All right, this is what we're talking about. In the book of Genesis, the creation story, remember we talked about last week, starts with, it says, the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the deep. And God called forth creation out of the chaos. God called for order out of the chaos. He called creation into being, called into being that which was not prior. And in addition to that, in the poetry of Genesis, it talks about the days of creation. And one of the days, it says that God separated the waters above from the waters below. Part of that calling order was that kind of separating of waters. Just remember that, because it's going to come up here in a minute. So we said this sea, this water kind of imagery is one of those symbols for chaos. And it becomes, in Hebrew thought and understanding, the sea becomes this metaphor for a home of evil, the place of evil, where Satan maybe dwells. Maybe we shouldn't go that far as where Satan dwells, but it's this place of evil. So, as we focus on this second story, Jesus calming the storm, it's interesting if we kind of go through a few of those details. Jesus is first leaving the crowds. He's going to go off. He's going to travel across the water to the other side. And as they're going, this windstorm arises. The disciples are not newbies to the sea. These guys are not rookies when it comes to how do we navigate ships. At least some of them were professional fishermen. They spent their days out there. No doubt they had been through a storm before, but this one seems to be different because the disciples are getting a little agitated, getting a little worried because waves are crashing in over the side of the boat. The boat is filling with water. Again, think back to this creation story. Separation of waters. What is happening here? The waters above, the waters below are crashing. Rain coming down, water coming up, wind. It's this chaos coming to where there should be order. Again, when we look at this kind of symbolism. The home of evil is crashing over the side of their boat and filling their boat. There's layers here. And here's Jesus in the midst of this taking a siesta, a little nap in the front of the boat. Now, I've told this story before, but a few years ago, Michelle and I got to go, this is quite a few years back now, when we went to the Bahamas, led a mission team to the Bahamas. And it's the only time that I have been on a boat. Actually, we were on the boat. We stayed on the boat for, a little over a week and a half. And so that first night, though, everybody had to take turns steering the ship because the captain was like, I'm not staying up all night. If you're going to be on my boat, you got to help, do your part. So in groups of two, he said, here's the deal. Here's the compass. You keep us right here on between, 50 and 52 degrees, and, just keep us in that direction, and each of you have, an hour, 2 hour watch, whatever it was. So it got rough. Michelle and I we're partners, and we're looking at this thing, and it's just doing this thing, and we're like, dang, and you're trying to watch this compass that's doing this thing, and I'm just telling you, there was no sleep happening that night. I don't know about, I don't know what the other people were doing, but like as you're doing this thing and kind of your head's cracked, I was not sleeping. It's the only time I've gotten motion sickness in my life, and it was not fun. So when I read this and I see these experienced fishermen are getting worried because it's so bad, Jesus is sleeping? I don't get it. I'm like, I don't quite understand it. As an observer for us, as a reader, I can't help but wonder about this contrast that Mark's trying to point out for us. He says, here's Jesus asleep in the stern, the disciples wrecked by fear. Here's Jesus full of trust. Here's the disciples full of anxiety. Here's Jesus peaceful and still. Here's the disciples frantically trying to do something, anything to save themselves. Maybe Mark's trying to tell us something. But they finally go to Jesus for help, and they're like, Jesus, we got to ask you a question here. And their question is telling, because they could have gone to him and said, Jesus, do you not realize that we are perishing here? And had they asked that, maybe he was a heavy sleeper. Maybe he's a Rodolfo up here. He's like, I can sleep through that. No problem. But had they asked him, do you not realize that we're perishing? It would have been a question of survival. But that's not what they asked him. They said, Jesus, do you not care that we're perishing here? It's a question of value. Jesus, don't you care about us? I thought you called us out. I thought we had this relationship. Jesus, what are you doing? We're dying here. And we know that you have power and authority. Do you not care? What's going on here? Do you not love us? Jesus, come on. It says that Jesus awakes and he hears their crying. So he stands and he rebukes the wind and says to the sea, peace, be still. And every time I read that, I can still hear my New Testament professor, Danny Goodman. He said, we would read this and he would say, that's such a sanitized translation of the Greek. He said, it's so nice and proper, peace. Be still. He said, when in Greek, maybe a better translation is just, shut up! it wasn't calm and nice. It was this, Jesus standing up and rebuking. It's the same language that Jesus uses for casting out demons. When demons come and say, Jesus, don't cast us out. Don't kill us. And he's, zip it. Shush. You know, and Jesus won't let the demons even speak about who he is because he says these evil forces are not fit carriers for the truth of who I am. So he closes their mouths and won't allow them to speak and then casts them out. And as we looked at last week, the story of casting them into the herds of swine to where they ran into the sea. But in the same language, Jesus stands up and he says, be quiet, hush, to the sea. And it's almost as if Jesus is performing an exorcism here to the sea itself, to the home of evil itself. Jesus says, be quiet. Who has real authority here? And not only that, but Jesus is reasserting some creative powers. He's restoring order to the chaos that's threatening to take over. He's putting the waters back in their place. Because you see, in the coming kingdom, there will be no sickness, so Jesus brings healing. In the coming kingdom, there will be no death, so Jesus brings resurrection. In the coming kingdom, there will be no evil, so Jesus casts out demons. In the coming kingdom, there will be order and new creation. And so Jesus demonstrates power, order, creation over nature. But I've trained you well, hopefully, over these last 4+ years. So what, right? Cool. What does that mean for me now? Big deal. I wonder where we might find ourselves in the story. Where do we see ourselves? The easiest place is obviously with the disciples. Scared, anxious, panicked. The storms of life. If yours are anything like mine, they're raging at times. The waves of fear and worry capsize our little lifeboat. We feel out of control. And we go and say, Jesus, where are you? What's going on? Don't you care? Get up. Jesus, take away these trials. Jesus, calm these storms. Jesus, do something, please. Help, I need you. Or maybe when we're having those real crises, those kind of existential crises about, you know, really questioning our faith at all. And then we go, Jesus, do you even care that I'm drowning here? That the water's over my head, that I can't seem to stay up? Don't you care that I'm here? Don't you care about what I'm going through? I'm perishing. And too often, what we do is we go to Jesus and we want Jesus to do it all. We want God to do it all. And we want just take away the trials. Just take away my struggles. Just calm the storm by your power. And sometimes Jesus says something to us kind of like he says to Peter in that first story. Get out of the boat. And you're like, no. No, this is the only thing keeping me safe. This is my little thing, God. This is my safety blanket, like Linus carrying around, you know, whatever that is. These are the things. No, God, I can't let go of that. He says, get out of the boat. Let go of those things that you're using, those crutches that you're using to get you through the storms, to self-medicate, to hold on. Get out. Let go of that. Focus your eyes here because I got a plan for you. I want you to walk on water. And if we can keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, we can walk across the top of the storms, the top of the waves. Maybe Jesus, however, wants to speak a word of new creation into those storms that we are facing. It says, rather than taking away your trouble, I want to speak order into them. Rather than removing you from the problem, I want to speak peace into the problem. Rather than just escaping, I want you to face your troubles securely, trusting the Father to take care of you. I want you to be able to sleep in the stern as the boat is rocking because you trust that the Father's got you. God's in control here. You see, because the difference between Jesus and the disciples is this issue of trust. Jesus knows I can trust the Heavenly Father. My Heavenly Father has power to alter my circumstances. And the disciples are only focused on the storm that's right in front of them. You see, it's a matter of perspective. If you've ever talked to anybody who does any scuba diving, usually you don't go scuba diving in storms. It's usually a good idea. But they can tell you that once you go down a couple of hundred feet, it's eerie how calm and peaceful it is. So even if on the surface, you know, there might be waves, there might be, so you go down a couple hundred feet and it's still. You wouldn't even know sometimes what's going on up above. Maybe that's what Jesus is trying to communicate to us. Look, it may be rolling on the surface, but I need you to have a different perspective, because if you go down a little deeper, if you go down a little deeper to where God is dwelling, the Spirit of God dwelling within you, you can have peace in the midst of it. While it may be splashing and rolling on the surface, and your circumstances might be pulling you and blowing you back, if we've got that Spirit of God within us, we can find peace in the midst of the storm, because we need not face this world of trouble and anxiety, running to and fro, frantically staying busy, throwing water overboard, patching holes, frantically trying to do anything we can to keep our head above water. Instead, we might just place ourselves in the hands of a Heavenly Father who will carry us through it. We might just place our trust in God, knowing that He can carry us through this. Where is our focus? On our circumstances or on the Savior? On the day-to-day ups and downs, the roller coaster, or on the constant truth that God will not leave you nor forsake you? Is our focus on the shifting sands and rolling waves of this world? Or is it on the solid rock of God's truth and God's presence? You see, I think the message that I was hearing this week to me was that God wants to bring the kingdom into my life and into your life today. God wants to speak these words, peace, be still. Sometimes even a little more harshly, shut up to the storms and to all my busyness. When Jesus spoke, peace, be still, we could ask, was He talking to the waves or was He talking to the disciples? Or both? Maybe the message for us is sometimes, instead of all of our frantic running around, we need to just shut up. Or as the psalmist says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in all the earth. Maybe the message for us is that God may not necessarily want to take us out of the storm, but God may want to fill us with His peace right in the midst of it. Let's pray together. God, we thank You for Your peace that surpasses all understanding. We thank You that through the power of Your Holy Spirit, we can experience a peace that is not intuitive, is counterintuitive, a peace that seems bizarre and wacky in our world, because we still don't have control over our circumstances. But we know that You are sovereign. You are in control. There's nothing that surprises You, Lord. There's nothing that's going to catch You off guard, or that is going to be beyond Your power to speak peace and calm and to carry us through. God, Your Scripture teaches that even when we walk through the valley, whether it's the valley of the shadow of death, the valley of the shadow of illness, the valley of the shadow of pain and suffering, of depression, of anxiety, the valley of fear, You will not leave us or abandon us. Know that You will be present with us in the midst of the storm, just as Jesus was present with His disciples, and that You will speak words of peace. So help us to trust You, even when circumstances seem to seem to say things beyond our control, seem to say that there's no hope and that there's no future. Help us to trust you, that you are working good. Help us to be still and know that you are God and we are not. We love you, Lord. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.